Chapter 19. Teresa sat in the study, looking through a seismic report with a thousand-mile stare. A melancholy depression, tinged with anger, had gradually replaced her shock at Roy's brutal killing. He had been like a brother to her, and his murder the night before was painful to accept. It had been made worse by the appearance of Tatiana in the courtyard shortly after Roy expired. With glaring eyes that spit fire, she'd hissed at Teresa. "Do not obey, and the same fate will befall you." The guard who had killed Roy was summoned to crudely drag Teresa back to her room and keep her under armed guard. Since that moment, she and Wofford had been under constant surveillance. She gazed across the study to the entryway, where two stone-faced guards stood staring back at her. Their brightly colored silk dels, or tunics, softened their appearance, but she knew from the night before that they were highly trained killers. Alongside her, Wofford sat with his bum leg propped on a chair, deeply engrossed in a geological report. He had been shocked by Roy's death, but seemed to have shaken it off quickly. More likely, he was using the task at hand to conceal his emotions, Teresa decided. "We might as well give them the work they asked for," he had told her. "It might be the only thing that keeps us alive." Maybe he was right, she thought, trying to regain focus on the report in her hands. It was a geological assessment of a basin area in an unidentified plain. Sandstone and limestone rifts were identified as being overlaid with clay and shale stretched across the basin. It was just the type of stratigraphy that was conducive to subsurface petroleum reserves. "The geology seems promising, whatever it is," she said to Wofford. "Take a look at this," he replied, unrolling a computer printout across the table. Known as a seismic section, the printout showed a computer-enhanced image of several layered levels of sediment for a confined location. The chart was created by a seismic survey team that sent man-made shocks into the ground and recorded the sound reflections. Teresa stood up to get a better look, examining the chart with fresh interest. It was unlike any seismic image she had seen before. Most subsurface profiles were opaque and smudgy, resembling a Rorschach inkblot left out in a rainstorm. The profile before her was a crisp image with clearly delineated subsurface layers. "Amazing image," she remarked. "Must be made with some cutting-edge technology. I've never seen anything this precise."
"It definitely beats anything we've ever used in the field. But that's not the amazing aspect," he added.
Reaching over, he pointed to a bulbous shape near the bottom of the page that extended off the edge. Teresa leaned over and studied it carefully.
"That looks like a classic, not to mention nicely sized, anticlinal trap," she said, referring to the dome-shaped layer of sediments.
The cusp of a sedimentary dome like the one before her was a flashing red light for geophysicists, as it is a prime spot for petroleum deposits to accumulate.
"Nicely sized indeed," Wofford replied.
Pulling over a stack of similar profiles, he spread several on the table.
"That particular trap stretches nearly 40 kilometers. There's six other smaller ones I've found in the same region."
"It certainly looks like the right conditions for a deposit."
"You never know until the drill gets wet, but from these images, it looks pretty promising."
"And there's six more? That's a tremendous reserve potential."
"At least six more. I haven't digested all the reports yet, but it is mind-boggling. Taking a stone's throw from the image, there might be 2 billion barrels potentially sitting in that one trap alone. Add in the others and you could have over 10 billion barrels. And that's just for one field. No telling how much is in the entire region."
"Incredible. Where is the field located?
That's the hitch. Someone has carefully removed all geographic references from the data. I can only tell that it is subterranean and that the surface topography is flat with a predominant sandstone base.
You mean we might be looking at the next North Sea oil fields when you don't know where they are located?
I haven't a clue.
Sargoff laughed between sips from a cup of tea, his big belly jiggling with each guffaw.
Charging through the night on a forklift, toting an Avarga security guard through the air.
He chuckled.
You Americans always have such a flair for dramatics.
It wasn't the understated exit I would have preferred, Pitt replied from across the cafe table, but Al insisted we ride, not walk.
And we still nearly missed last call.
Giordino smirked before sipping his morning coffee.
I'm sure management is scratching their heads, wondering why a pair of Westerners were waltzing around their facility. A shame you didn't find any evidence that our oil survey friends had been there.
No, the only item of interest was the tunnel boring machine, and it was concealed under a canvas tarp similar to the object that was removed from the freighter at Baikal.
It is possible the machine was stolen and brought into the country surreptitiously. Mongolia does not have easy access to high technology. Perhaps the company does not want the government to be aware of its technological equipment.
Yes, that could be true, Pitt replied. I would still like to know what it was that they hauled away from Baikal under wraps.
Alexander, have there been any developments in the abduction investigation?
Giordino asked before biting into a buttered roll. Sargov looked up to see Korsov enter the busy cafe situated across from Sukhbatar Square.
I shall let our local expert address that question, he said, standing and greeting his embassy friend.
Korsov smiled his toothy grin and pulled a chair up to the table.
I trust everyone had a comfortable night, he said to Pitt and Giordino.
Just until the vodka wore off. Pitt grinned, cognizant that Giordino was nursing a mild hangover.
Ivan, we were just discussing the investigation. Has there been any news on the official front?
Sargov asked.
Yet, Korsov said, his jovial face turning solemn. The National Police have still not been assigned the case. The investigative request is being held up in the Justice Ministry. My apologies. I misspoke when I said that Avarga Oil has no influence within the government. It is clear that a bribe is in effect at some level.
Every hour might count for Teresa and the others, Giordino said.
Our embassy is doing everything they can through official channels. And I am, of course, pursuing leads through unofficial means.
Do not worry, my friend. We will find them.
Sargoff drained the rest of his tea and set down the empty cup.
I'm afraid there is little more that we can ask of Ivan. The Mongol authorities often work on their own time frame. They will ultimately respond to the continued inquisitions from our embassy, despite whatever bribes are impeding the investigation. It may be best if we step back and wait for the bureaucratic hurdles to be cleared before any further action. As it is, I must return to Irkutsk to file a report on the damage to the Vereshchagin. I have gone ahead and booked airline tickets for the three of us this afternoon.
Pitt and Giordino looked knowingly at Korsov, then turned to Sargov.
Actually, we have already made alternate travel plans, Alexander, Pitt said. You are returning directly to the United States. I thought perhaps you would return to Siberia and collect your comrade Rudy first.
No.
We're not going to the United States or Siberia just yet.
I don't understand.
Where is your intended destination? Pitt's green eyes glimmered as he said, "A mystical place called Xanadu."